Together. Lord Jesus, we need you here to be with us as we look to your word. I got nothing to say, and nobody else matters but you in this case, God. So please teach us a prophetic word, teach us a practical word, teach us a positive word, God, that we would be changed, transformed from dark to light. And God, you know each one of us. God, there are some here that have not yet been able to transfer their faith to work. And it started in their heart, but they've not been able to bring it home and bring it to their kids. God, may today shine a bright light in the dark places of our heart, the areas of our life that are not yet truly transformed, the places of our lives that are not yet surrendered. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, please, Father, send your spirit to glorify your son tonight in today's service, God, and tonight's. We pray these things only by the merciful grace of our King. Amen. If you pay attention to the news, if you are like me, a news junkie, it's really hard to be a Christian and not be a news junkie. It really is, because just like the Jews of old, you know, you're waiting for Messiah. They were waiting for his first entrance, and we're waiting for his second. And so you're looking at the news and wondering, what are the sign of the times? What is the sign of your return, Lord? And then if you read Matthew 23 and wars and rumors of wars, and man, it's like, from a far away, you could see this light. And then now you add this crisp view of the rapture. And like the distance between where we are and where the rapture is, we don't know. We just know that everything's in place. So we have this five-dimensional life we're looking at. The second coming, the sign of the times, the rapture, what's going on in our society, how does it pertain to the rest of the world? And we're looking at it, and we're trying to put these things together. What does it mean? What does it mean? Hoping you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning. I don't know about you. I want to wake up someplace else. And that's coming from a guy who's got it pretty stinking good on this earth. I mean, I feel really stupid sometimes praying in my chair overlooking my pool as the sun creeps up over the palm trees in my backyard. God, return to earth. Like, why? My feet are up, you know? Especially the last week in Florida, cool 75, breeze coming off the ocean. Like, yeah, this is why I moved to Florida. I remember now. But I can't help, like a movie scene, it just crashes into my reality. People in the Middle East whose lives are being shredded and torn apart because of their faith in the Lord. I have a friend of mine who told me about this guy who's in Tajikistan. Believe it or not, that's a country, Tajikistan. And he's a missionary. And I get an update from him once a month. If you're interested, I'll share it with you. But he insists that we keep it on the down low, because if you put it on social media, if somebody from the Tajikistani government finds out that he's actually a missionary there, they'll kill him and his whole family. Like, not arrest him, not like persecute him, they'll kill him. You know, it's a Muslim-run country, and they don't take kindly to Christian missionaries. But he tells the story of this one woman who gave her heart to the Lord. And believe it or not, they moved there under the guise, and I don't mean guys, but they went there and started a business. They do CrossFit. It's one of the things they do. And they've had a lot of athletes, a lot of pro athletes come. He actually asked me to come out there and teach some jujitsu, and I was just like, yeah, I gotta pray about it, you know, let me pray about that one. Teach jujitsu in Tajikistan. Yeah, I got a wife and kids, you know what I mean? I gotta get back here. I can be such a coward sometimes, guys, I confess. And he talks about how, in his last newsletter, about how she accepted the Lord, and She's sure when her husband comes back from Russia, because her husband goes 4 to 6 months a year to Russia to work because there's no money. When he comes back, she's almost positive he will accept the Lord. But she really needs her father, because if her father finds out, and listen, if you have been blessed enough, if you have been chosen by God, if you have been so lucky to be born in this country, do me a favor. Don't complain about anything after that. Nothing. Zero. It's with that introduction we look to a little bit of detail. So the Apostle Paul telling his son in the faith, Timothy, I want you to know what's going to happen at the end. Okay. So now we could add something to what's called our periphery. We've got all of these, again, these layers, these dimensions of trying to figure out, well, when's he coming back? You know, what do we got to do? What's the time? When is it going to happen? Here, the Apostle Paul adds a little bit of detail. He says, verse 1 of chapter 3 of the book of 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word for perilous is an interesting word, not translated well into today's language. It really just simply means stressful. Stressful. But it's the stress under the level of near breaking. So the actual translation should be near breaking point stress. That's like immediately like, yeah, I'm seeing that. I mean, look, I'm no Democrat and I'm no Republican. But watching this lunatic the other day on TV, it was like watching like somebody else's dream sequence. Maybe by July 4th, if I say it's okay, you can get together and have a cookout. Not too many of you! Like, what country are we in again? What country is this? I'm telling you, it was surreal. Unless you're like a major Kool-Aid drinker, you could not watch his speech without like some shudder in your spirit to say, man, we've fallen. The country's done. It's over. This is crazy what's going on here. There's actually somebody pulling his strings. I don't know who it is. I'll say what you tell me to say. No wonder they got rid of the other guy. It was scary. It was really scary. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Now, a lot of these phrases that they use in here are also weak translation from the Greek into Latin and then to English. In case you didn't know that, and we're going to look at this next week. I'm going to prepare you for next week's study. We're going to look next week at where we got the Bible from. Because we're going to do, next week, we're going to finish the last verse in chapter 3, which is all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, for instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped thoroughly for every good work. We're going to look at exactly where we got the Bible. We're going to look at the Septuagint. We're going to look at A, B, and C texts. We're going to look at all these things so that you're coming away with knowledge. And the next time you read your Bible, you're not going to go, man, I wonder what that is. What was the Bible written? Well, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. Well, then what? Well, then it was translated to what's called the Septuagint, which is Latin. And then it's been translated from Latin into all these different languages. Well, how did they find the different book? That's what we're going to look at next week. I want to give you guys a little teaser, a little tempt. Okay, come on back next week. But a lot of these words don't translate well. So what I did is I looked up the roots and the original words of some of these words just to give you an idea. Now, again, if you are a news junkie, and you're watching what's going on, say, in Seattle, in Portland, in some of these inner cities, Baltimore and Chicago and St. Louis, if you're watching, I want you to see if you're seeing any correlation here. He says, men will be lovers of themselves. The word lover of themselves, translated best into our language, would be narcissistic. They believe wholeheartedly that what's good for them is good, and what's not good for them is not good. That somebody else's rules don't apply to them. They truly believe in the epitome of selfishness. He said, in the last days, people will be narcissistic. As in, they might have their own page that anybody could see that could talk all about them, where they work, and where they play, and where they went to school, and who they like, and who they don't like. They might have something that reflects them, completely them, self, me. Wow, I don't know if there's anything like that going on right now. That's so weird. Lovers of money, that is an adjective meaning covetous, avaricious, money above all, meaning they will do anything to get money. That God is not in their periphery at all. So if you have $10 and I could get that $10, when I was in the street, every man had their price. And if we knew somebody had over a certain amount in them, on them, or in their home, we would calculate whether it was worth it. Like, if I, hey man, this dude stores money in his house, what are we talking about? 100 large, 100 large? Is that worth the 10 years? Breaking and entering? Strong arm burglary? You know what I mean? 100 grand's worth it. But this day and age, people dying for 10 bucks in their pocket, a watch, a sandwich. Men will be lovers of money above everything else. Just to get the money they want, they don't care. He is telling them what to look at. Now, I want you to transform, because you're reading this with me, and if you're like me, the first thing I'm looking at is today's society, today's day and age. Well, narcissism, lovers, of course, that's he's talking about today. But remember, this was written 2,000 years ago. The vast majority of the trade and the commerce was livestock, gold, vegetables, wheats, barleys. I mean, I wonder if Timothy was reading this and going, yeah, I don't know when that's going to be, but I mean, people aren't that debased yet. Or has it always been like that? Because some people say, oh, people have been saying that for years. We're going to get to a book called 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, he says, everybody always says, yeah, God ain't listening. People have been saying the same thing for years. He says, don't ever forget, God is patient and he wants no one to perish. But the wheels of God not just grind slowly, but very finely. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but finely. And eventually it will get to us. Continuing, making this a little faster. Boasters. You know what people are doing these days? It's the stupidest thing. Some guys, you got to think to yourselves how stupid some people are. There's a whole department in some, In some police departments, they have people dedicated, and all they do is look online at idiots who post their stupid acts online. There's people who put their deeds on Facebook. Hey, I knocked this guy out in the street. Good. And he posts it on Facebook, and then they go and arrest him. Like, how stupid? How do you judge?
Well, I might get in trouble, but everybody's going to think I'm cool.
If you've not read George Orwell's 1984 in high school, I suggest you highly read it. It will read like a Wow, that's amazing how it's all come to pass in 30 years. George Orwell talked about all these things, Big Brother is watching and all of that stuff. However, continuing, boastful, proud, as in it's all about me, adding to the narcissism. Not just are they doing these things, they're proud about it. They're proud about it. Continuing, blasphemers. That word for blasphemers isn't that prototypical speaking ill of God. It's an interesting word in the Greek. It literally means sluggish, lazy, complaining, yet evil speaking without reverence for God and man. Like as in, Ma, can you make me a sandwich? Sluggish, lazy, evil speaking. The Twitterverse is about the scariest place on the face of the planet right now. The only consolation you will get is that cancel culture is a rebellion that will eat itself. They are canceling themselves out. It's the stupidest thing. When I tell you, I am so glad I never got into social media. I have no idea. I don't even know how to like somebody on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't know what it is. I've never had a Facebook page except a fake one to look at my kids when they wanted one. And then thank God they got rid of theirs. So I got rid of mine when they were just little. But Twitter is wrecking people's lives. And they don't care. And nobody asks who this nameless, faceless person is. Ma, can you make me a sandwich? I'm ruining somebody's life. Are we reading the same thing? Disobedient to parents. You know what that means? Literally, they don't care what their parents say. Unthankful. That's just not grateful for the things that you've been given. Not thankful that your mom just made you a sandwich. Not thankful that sandwiches exist. Not even a second thought. Unholy. That word literally means wicked or evil. Unloving. The word for unloving is interesting because in the King James, it's translated without natural affection. Now, some have misused that word to mean homosexual or not homosexual. That's not what that word means. Without natural affection means, how many of you guys have ever been a part of any kind of foster care? I'm sure you police and firefighters that are here. Kids get this thing when they're raised in the foster care system. I couldn't remember the name, but when they can't connect with people. Attachment disorder. You'll get a kid that's 6 or 7 years old. Now, the crazy thing is, parents, if you've never been a part of foster care or anything like that, the first 2 to 3 years, your child is wet cement. And they learn everything that they need to know about love in those first 2 to 3 years. If they are tied up in a bed, if they are not given proper affection, they lose any ability to connect. We've seen people get 6 and 7 year olds who cannot, they have no emotional ability to connect. No matter how much you bless them, no matter how much you love them, no matter how much you're loyal to them, they don't care. They don't care. You wake up one day and your dog has been strangled, your cat has been murdered, and you're just, parents flip out. But I love that. The kid has a disease or a sickness or a disorder. It's called attachment disorder. This is that exact, huh? Reactive attachment disorder is the name of it. Thank you. This is what this word is. Some people, they have no love for their family. You hear about this kid that got up and him and his girlfriend shot his mother and father and took the car just so they can drive across country. You're like, Now, for some of you guys that are not news junkies, that are not watching this go down, you might be like, wow, what a bleak view of the world you have. I might. And some of you guys might even say, hey, you know, you really might want to stop watching the news. You're probably right. But if I stick my head in the sand, at what point in time, now, I don't like to use movies in my preaching, but there's a scene in Lord of the Rings where Samwise looks at Frodo and says, we don't even belong here. Let's just go home. And what are we doing here? He says, this is beyond us. And Frodo looks at him and goes, it's going to come to us too. If we sit and do nothing, eventually the fires will burn in our hometown. Hey guys, we got it really good here in Florida, especially where we're at. Man, the whole world could fall apart. Let New York and LA and San Francisco, let them fall apart. Who really cares, right? Eventually it's going to get here. Eventually the fires of Mordor will burn on our shores. As Frodo said to Gamgee. You follow what I'm saying? So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I do have a bleak view of the world. Maybe as I'm saying these things, you're like, dude, what a depressing message you're bringing. Like, yeah, and there's a point to it at the end, but I just want to show you, man, we are in the last of the last days. I know people have been saying this for 100 years, but no, like, I'm serious. Guys, let me tell you something in case you didn't know this. More Christians in the last 75 years have died for their faith in the Lord Jesus than all 2,000 prior to his death. Do you know that? Combined. More Christians in the last 75 years have been killed because they said they love the Lord Jesus than in all 2,000 years since the Lord's death and resurrection. Combined. This ain't no joke. I hope you got a nice cush life. I hope you're working hard. I hope things are going your way. I hope you're building and selling and buying and making money and making babies and having a good time. But if you ain't doing the most important thing here, it's like Pastor Bob used to say, I ain't never seen a hearse with a U-Haul in back of it. Yeah, it gets worse. Don't worry, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Unforgiving. Unforgiving in the King James, they call it truce breakers. Truce breakers. Now, the reason I'm breaking these words down, and I usually don't go this detailed, is because the words that he's using here just don't translate well into our day and age language. There's some words that they used to use 50 years ago. They don't use them anymore. You understand? And if they do, they don't translate perfectly. He's not gonna pardon the phrase, bastardize the text. It's not gonna take the origins out of it, but it does accentuate it when you look at the original language. And you see that word, truce breakers, listen to the exact meaning of this word. The irreconcilable one who, being at war, refuses to lay aside his enmity or listen to terms of reconciliation. Implacable in a state of war. Such as, if you're seeing what's going on right now in Portland, Oregon, they're trying to burn down the police stations and burn down the government buildings. Like, there's a group called Antifa, and they're aligned with this other group called Black Lives Matter, not to be confused with the term Black Lives Matter. This is the group Black Lives Matter. They're united. They join forces. And they're trying to literally burn down the city of Portland. And it's like, hello? Hey, guys, you won. Like, stop fighting now. You won. The president you wanted got elected. The governor you wanted in Oregon got elected. The mayor you wanted in Portland is there. Stop now. You won. Nope. We don't give up. What do you want that you don't have? They want complete anarchy. Wait a second. You said you wanted Joe Biden in office. We lied. You said you wanted this mayor. You said you wanted this governor. We lied. What do you want? Breakdown of all society. Anarchy we want. A truce breaker. Unforgiving. We don't raise the white flag. Wow. There's a whole lot going on. I mean, you thought he was just, let me read that to you. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Listen, you read this at first glance, you go, man, that's disgusting. These people, I mean, I wonder if Timothy was reading this going, greatness, serious? Like, I realize you've been in prison, Paul, but take it easy. Paul wasn't joking. This is what you're going to see in the last days, and this is what we're seeing right now, guys. This is what we're seeing right now. What did the Lord Jesus say? The love of many will grow cold. In the original language, wax cold. Wow. Slanderers. You know what a slanderer is? It's the Greek word which gives the meaning away. Diabolos. Diabolos. The just like the devil, accuser of the brethren, evil speakers. You did this and you did that. That's Twitter, man. Like some guy from some band in England said he liked a book that somebody wrote and they canceled him. Like they made the band fire him and everyone in hell, you're bad. Like, whoa, I just said I liked the book. And he did like the worst thing you can do. He apologized. I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I did not know whose feelings I was hurting. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing. There's a man who died some years ago. His name was Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart. He has a website called Breitbart.com, and it's all news of the world. It's more conservative-leaning news stories, Breitbart.com. He said that politics are downstream from education. That was his famous quote. He says, if you want to see what politics is going to be like, look at the colleges. What's going on in the colleges in a few years is going to be what's going on in politics. And man, was he right. Safe spaces. Microaggressions. Like, we laughed at that a few years ago. Safe spaces.
They want a safe space.
Listen, we said arrogantly, there's no safe space when you get to where they'll learn as they get older. And now, they've infiltrated our government. They own the office of the President of the United States. Like, whoa, what do you mean I've got a, you're teaching what in schools? Equity? No, we don't want equity. We want equality of opportunity. No, we want equity. Whoa, do you guys understand what that means? They want to engineer society so that all have the same, otherwise known as socialism. Now, of course, the super rich are never into socialism. They get to keep their money. It's only you working class idiots that got to share what you earned with other people who don't work. That's equity. So the next time somebody brings up that word equity, you tell them, did you say equality? No, equity. You mean equality of opportunity. Oprah Winfrey just did an interview with these two royals, apparently. One girl was an actress, and another dude is like a prince of England. Oprah Winfrey should have, I want to be nice. She should have her Achilles tendons cut. That was nice. Oprah Winfrey should be every black woman's hero. This woman came from zero, from nothing. She's a billionaire. She has lived the American dream. What a woman. Gave away cars, she had audience and she gave them house. I mean, you name the benevolent deed, Oprah Winfrey did it. somebody who proclaimed hard work, the American dream. She didn't ask for equity, she just wanted opportunity. And she got it, and she did it. What a woman! I mean, Oprah Winfrey should be on the freaking $5 bill! But what is she doing now? Entertaining some poor, rich victim? While I was in the Kingdom of England, the royal family, somebody said something about my child's skin. Who are you? Meghan Merkel? I don't even know who that is. And then her cuck husband, her beta male, redheaded, blue blood? Who said blue blood? Is that what they call blue bloods? Sitting there with, like, dude, smack that woman in her mouth. She's trashing your family, man. She's trashing your family. Don't say that. My wife said I can't say that. Don't smack her. Put your woman in line, boy! Not either, honey. We live in a crazy time, guys. We live in a crazy time. We live in a crazy time. I got so many more, and I'm not going to run through all of them at this point because it's kind of ridiculous. Slanderers, without self-control. Obviously, that word means exactly what it says. They just don't have any control. They cannot control their feelings and emotions. If they want it, they have to do it. They don't have any ability to say no to their flesh. Brutal. Brutal is an interesting word. Fierce, violent, savage. I watched one of these riots. Some dude get out of a truck. Some transvestite. What's the word? You can't use transvestite anymore. Transgender. Some transgender dude was getting, woman, I don't know what it was. It was a dude dressed like a girl. Was getting a crap beat out of her. And this guy got out of his truck to help. And they beat him so unmercifully. While he was dead on the floor, literally out cold on the floor, these guys are stomping him. Like, look, that's some stuff I wouldn't even done in the street. Like, the guy's out, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to kill him, you know, it was crazy. And that's savage, that inability to control your own savagery. You're just crazy. Despisers of good. Better translated is despisers of those who do good. Not only, we live, guys, now in a society called participation society. If you don't agree with gay marriage, you're a homophobe. Like, look, I personally don't care who gets married. That's your business. I can only marry a guy and a woman here that love God. Like, I have like a real fine line. Like, if one's a Christian and one's a Muslim, I can't marry you because that's not what the Bible says. Like, but I cannot marry a dude and a dude. I can't marry a woman and a woman. You want to go up to the courthouse, I don't care who you sleep with or not. That's your business. My job is what goes on in the church. That's my job. Judging the world is God's job. My job's keeping what's in line in the church. You follow me? This is, if you won't date a transgender, you're a hater. This is participation society. Now, some of you guys say, hey, you're taking this too far. You're not on Twitter then. You don't understand. You're not watching the news. This is where we're at. It's not a matter of whether you participate or not. It's whether you agree or don't. You don't agree. I don't agree with you're a homophobe, you're a xenophobe. I don't agree with open borders in our country, okay? I think my parents came here, actually not my parents, my parents were born here. My grandparents came here through Staten Island. They came to Ellis Island. They had to wait. My grandfather was put in a sanitarium, make sure he was healthy. He had to wait online. It took him 50 years to get his papers. And the day that he got them, we all, oh, my grand, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's right. I don't hate Mexican people. I love Mexican people. I don't dislike any. Man, I dislike everybody, basically. Or I like everybody. It just depends how you behave in front of me. You follow me? But not in this day and age. If you don't believe in open borders, you're a racist. This is what he's saying, guys. I'm not making this up. I didn't write this. I'm not finagling this into my Bible study and make my political theory. We are living in the last of the last days. Okay. Traitors, they don't keep any alliances. There's an old saying in politics, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. Headstrong. The word headstrong is interesting. Rash, rolling forward, moving ahead without thought. You know you might be wrong. Doesn't matter. Keep moving forward. Haughty. Insolence. To be drunk with pride and a heart lifted up against man and God. Haughty. That word haughty. Insolence. To be drunk with pride with a heart lifted up against man and God. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure literally means sex is a physical act only. I feel it, so I do it. No thought that I might, shouldn't do this because it will displease God, that it will be unhealthy, wrong to do this to my wife or spouse or future wife or future. Lovers of pleasure. Sex becomes nothing that has anything to do with anything anymore except the feeling of what you want. Anything goes. If it feels good, you know, stick a screw up your nostril. You know, who knows? It might not be good for you if you do that. Yeah, but everybody's doing it on Twitter, Facebook. Rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. You hear that, kids? You have a kid in, I almost said high school, middle school. You have a kid in public middle school or high school? Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, you better be careful. One poisonous bite from one of these snakes, and you're going to wake up one morning and wonder what happened to your child. You hear what I said? You better be careful. When he says, of such people, turn away, he ain't joking. It takes one bad friend. One bad friend. Me and my wife heard about one of our children, used to go visit this friend, and we didn't know this friend had a sister, and they had him doing the stupidest stuff. And we didn't know. And she tells us now, years later, like, man, why didn't you tell us? Well, we were afraid. You better be careful. Be that parent. Be that over. I got a friend named Tyron Spong. You guys have met him. He used to sit in the front row. He's a big-time kickboxer. And he's got a daughter in middle school. And she was nice to some kid who lives in some trailer park where he's a part of some gang. And she wouldn't do something he wanted to. She was nice to him, and because she was nice, they kind of said they owned her. And then she was like, you don't own me. And they put online that they cussed and they were gonna kill you, we're gonna do. And Tyrone, he walked into their trailer park. He knocked, you gotta know this guy. He's not American, he's from Guyana. He's from Suriname, actually. And he's one of the greatest kickboxers of all time. And he's about 220. Hey, you come out here. You talk to my daughter. She's here. Why don't you do the things you say you're going to do? You know what he did? The kid called the cops. Kid called the cop. Wait, you're calling the cops on me? So when the cop guy, Tyrone, showed the cop. Cop man goes, hey, come out here. Tyrone grabbed the kid, he lifted him up, looked him in the eye, said, you ever mention my daughter's name again, I will swallow you alive. He said to me, Ryan, was that wrong? I looked at him and I said, I'd have done worse. Ask my daughters, back when they were going to youth group at our old church, for every year they were there, I was voted scariest father. I'm not joking. I mean, it's funny, ha ha ha, but not joking. Ask Elena. Every year, scariest father. I didn't play that. Oh, they're in church. It's okay. Nah. Get away. You know, one time somebody called. Hey, man, this is what was his name? What was his name, Arlie? And he comes into the store. You're not going to say? What's his name? I just want to encourage you. Remember all Elena when he called? I'm encouraged. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I got the phone and said, excuse me? Hey, Mr. Gimman. I forget his name. I want to say his name. I just want to encourage you, though. I encourage you. Call my daughter again. You ain't gonna be calling nobody for a really long time. Oh no. And I got, oh Ryan, why were you so rude to that kid? Like, look, I don't play that whole this is a church game and I'm the wrong one. I care nothing about that. Zero. You hurt my daughter, I will hurt you 10 times worse. It's just that simple. Now turn the other cheek thing when it comes to my kids. Sorry, I'll stand before God. You guys with me? From such people, turn away. We're talking about middle schoolers, 11 and 12-year-olds. You guys know one of our missionaries, Sue. She usually sits right there. She's right now garnering some support around the country. She'll be back, I think, in 2 weeks. One of her girls, 12 years old, pregnant. 12 years old. She's just crying. I love this kid. She's such a nice kid. It's Romania. It's another country. You feel me? Continuing. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs was also. Please leave here a second. Actually, we're not going to come back here. Turn to Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible, chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Now, this is very interesting, and it kind of goes in line with next week's study. Those people that he listed there, Jannes and Jambres, do not exist anywhere else in the Bible. You will not find their names anywhere. However, do you guys know what the Apocrypha is? The Apocrypha is in what's called the Catholic Bible. These are apocryphal books. These are other books that were not approved by the original canon. What's a canon? They call the final books that were made in the Bible a canon, a sealed like barrel, sealed. Nothing goes in, nothing comes out. Well, after the fact, the Catholic Church added these books. They're called the Apocrypha books. Now, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian who believes in this, those books are not evil and wicked. They're just not in my Bible. Now, there's many books that I read that I can still glean wisdom from, that I can still get history from. You following me? The Apocrypha books are really interesting books to read. You read them, you're like, man, there's some really good stuff in there. But it's not the truth, but it does contain truth. Here's the difference. The Bible is truth. Some other writings contain truth. Now, in one of the books of the Apocrypha, it talks about these two people, Jannes and Jambres. So the reference to these people are there. Where do they exist? Great question. Exodus chapter 7, starting in verse 8, look at this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. Give me your attention. If you've never seen the movie Ten Commandments from the 1930s, I believe it was, at the time, one of the greatest movies ever made, it is probably the closest to sticking to scripture that any actual movie has made, including Passion of the Christ and all that. So in the movie, Moses and his brother Aaron standing before Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes, not going to happen. And Pharaoh says, show me a sign that you speak for God. So he takes his staff and he throws it on the ground and it turns into a serpent. Pharaoh calls his two magicians. Their names? Jannes and Jambres, according to the Apocrypha. They come and they throw their stick on the ground. It also turns into a serpent. But Moses' staff, which is turned into a serpent, devours, eats those other ones. Now, the picture here is amazing. Truth will always devour the lie, no matter how big. There's a very famous saying, and I think it's an old Scottish philosopher. He said, a lie makes it halfway around the world before the truth has put its shoes on. Now, I want you to take in regard to what the Apostle Paul just said about Jannes and Jambres. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe that Jannes and Jambres turned a staff into a snake. They were tricksters. They were shysters. They were make-believers. They were what the Bible calls magicians. Look, here's our staff. And then they throw down their snake. And then Moses' staff, which really turned into a snake, ate them. Now, how do you apply that? How do you, you know, what are you reconciling that? It sounds like you're interjecting. Yes, I am. But here's what it is. It's a picture of this, exactly what the Apostle Paul was just saying. Listen, guys, I want you to know, the people at their top of the hill right now, this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all these people that are in office right now, the Hollywood swells, they don't believe any of the stuff that they're saying. They're liars. They're benefiting from your misery and the misery of others, just like these magicians. They had cush jobs, man. They were working for the king. It was well up to them to keep appearances up. We gotta keep up appearances. And that is what is running and ruining this world. And then there are people that actually believe them. The people mobilized on the street. We have to keep this going. Anarchy, anarchy. The levels of people that are being used here by liars. I have a friend of mine who won't talk to me anymore because he says I'm a Trump supporter. Like, no, I'm America supporter. I'm not a Trump supporter. If Trump's for America, I'm for Trump. If Trump's not for America, he can go too. I don't care. I love this country. My family has prospered because of this country. My family fled Europe between Russia, between Poland, and between Italy, fleeing communism, fleeing Nazism, and my family has found purpose and a place here. This is an amazing country. These people don't believe that. Do you understand that? They don't believe it. This friend of mine, he won't talk to me anymore. He says, you drank the Kool-Aid. And I said, Joe, explain what Kool-Aid I drank. The Trump Kool-Aid. Yeah, I got it. But explain to me what is the Kool-Aid that I drank. Because I'm kind of thinking you're the one that drank the Kool-Aid. I'm going to give you my reasons of why I will vote for this man. Can you give me your reasons why you won't? Oh, he's an immoral idiot. Says the guy that sleeps with 16 women. Says the guy who runs his illegal business. I mean, really? You care all of a sudden? Or are you just parroting? You think that Brian Stelzer or Don Lemon or Chris Cuomo, you think they believe the things that they're saying? Because they don't. They're liars. They are Jannes and Jambres. That's what they are. Chris Cuomo, who makes his walk up from the basement. I'm finally testing negative. I can come out of the basement. Wait, dude, You had just seen 2 weeks ago on Long Island looking at your million-dollar property that you just bought. You just got into a physical altercation with somebody on a bicycle who confronted you. They don't believe it. Please. When I was growing up, Bruce Springsteen, he was our Bob Dylan. You guys that are older than me, you guys are like Bob Dylan, man. Our Bob Dylan was Bruce Springsteen. Mary Queen of Arkansas. He was that backwoods South Jersey. I mean, he just, when he sang, now he's just a Hollywood moron. One day he's on TV supporting this and supporting whatever it was, and the next day he's getting a DUI. Like, dude, one day you come out against alcohol, the next day you're getting a DUI. You see a problem here? Judge not lest you be judged. So the Apostle Paul is telling his son Timothy, and here's where we finish. I went 15 minutes long, but I'll tell you why I went 15 minutes long. Because you all showed up 15 minutes late. Only one time I'm going to do this. I know I promised last year we're going to start on time, and I didn't start on time today, but that's because you guys got here late. Not all of you, but some of you. And I didn't want you to miss the good message I prepared. I'm going to read to you one more time because I can. But know this, my son Timothy, I add in parentheses, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs was also. Guys, now, the last thing I'm going to tell you, I have 60 seconds of more of your time, please. What do we do about it? If you don't believe we're in the last days, like I just proclaimed to you, go back to sleep, enjoy your life, we'll take care of it. Let you get out of the way, let the soldiers take over, you just enjoy our hard work, no problem. If you do believe that we're in the last days, if something clicked today, what do you do? Well, if you're a part of this church, if you're a part of this church, make sure your butt is at the beach tonight. We're doing an outreach with music, and there's people there that need prayer. Don't tell yourself you're busy. Don't watch your TV. Don't record your Sunday night show. If it's your nap time before a hard week, it's okay. Take your nap, go back to sleep, let the soldiers take care of it. We'll be there. This is your response. There's people dying and going to hell. And we have got to do everything we can to pull them out of the fire. And the way you're going to do that is by being at the beach tonight. If you're a part of this church, if you call this church your home church, then be at the beach tonight at 6 o'clock. And when we're singing and worshiping God, don't be afraid to go, hey, can I pray for you while you walk by? You'll see people on every level of freak out. And what I mean, every level of freak out, from people who refuse to walk by, to people who are drawn to the music and don't even know why they're there, to people who just stand afar off. And you will see more people recording, look at these crazies. And most of the people that are recording, here's what they are. Wow, there's other Christians out here. I got to record this. And those are the people you want to be like, hey, brother, you want some prayer before you go? Please pray for me. There's nobody doing it. We live by the beach where there's so many people. Why are we the only people out there? Let's not even forget about that. You be out there. That's your response to this message. Okay? Next week, brother?
Are we changing
Yeah, we were talking about that. You weren't in here. Let's see how it rolls. I mean, I kind of dig getting home at like 8:30, 9 o'clock and getting some sleep and all. So let's leave it at like 6 now and then see. You guys that are leading the worship, I'm sorry to say this, but I guess we're going to have to print out sheets. Maybe if you want to help some of the worship guys and print out the worship sheets, because it's really cool when we all have sheets, because if they're playing a song that we don't know all the words to and it's not posted up there, but maybe you can help print out some sheets. See Drew or Brian afterward or Xavier. See how you can be a part of helping. Maybe we'll switch it back to 7 if the daylight thing. I don't even know. We're in new territory here. We've only been doing this about 8 or 9 months, and we're just figuring it out now. So I'll see you all tonight. Thank you for sticking around and listening. And let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for your spirit. God, everything that the Apostle Paul told Timothy, we want to be the exact opposite of. We want to be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. May your spirit fall upon us and prepare us for tonight's worship service, tonight's prayer meeting even. And God, may I do pray for the person that's here that is rejecting these words that we spoke tonight that are straight from your Bible. God, soften their heart to receive all that you have for them. We love you and thank you for your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.